back from the dead. Hey guys, what is up? Welcome back to the channel. It is Ghost Girl Diaries. Today we're doing Paranormal Chat with Kat. It is a paranormal podcast for those of you that are brave enough to join the circle. And oh my god, Kat, we've had a strange day, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been weird. It's been a weird one, okay.
Yeah, like we were prepared for the stream this morning. Like we were like, oh, it's gonna be a great day. Yeah, like everything's fine. And then this afternoon it was like everything that could go wrong like went wrong at once with both of us, like separately, literally.
It's so true. It's so true. But luckily we're like really chill, go with the flow.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That's why like I haven't posted on social media. I'm gonna get back in the groove of that this week. I've been basically pre-filming a bunch of content to upload. And I'm wanting to try to get like a couple weeks ahead before I start posting again so that I don't fall behind again, you know, cause I'm famous for that. And, Kat's lizard is currently preparing for hibernation.
Yeah. Yeah. She's going into brumation. She's going to go sleep pretty soon.
And that's what's been stressing you out is it's a preparation process, right?
Yeah, I mean, they do something called gut loading, so they, like, eat a ton of food, and they run around and have lots of energy to just get rid of that energy so then they can sleep for up to 6 months. So she had a couple of those episodes today that, I won't go into detail, but...
I don't want to know, but just take my word for it that lizards are finicky.
She's tuckered out behind me.
Is she? She's passed out.
Yeah.
She gets these like giant bursts of energy where she's just like, I have to run all of this energy off. And then she like passes out.
Yeah. She runs all around the apartment. She's really spoiled. Full rein. Dog.
You know, just saying. So anyway, that's what we've been doing today. So yeah, we were like, you know what, even if it's not a big long stream or whatever, let's just go on anyway. Cause we're both like workaholics and we're both getting back in the groove of shooting content and stuff. Like, it was a stressful summer for us, to say the least.
Yeah. I mean, I feel we're both really creative people. So it wasn't necessarily a matter of, like, writing down ideas. It's just the executing part. Mm-hmm. When you're so busy and doing so many other things, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep up with that because social media isn't the only thing that we, you know, also handle. Mm-hmm. So, just getting back into the groove of it, but we're in a good spot now. We're in a good groove. Mm-hmm. Crystal's been doing a lot of research and sending me some good tips and tricks as well, so it's been really helpful.
Yeah, we're trying to execute it so that we can keep up with content, because we know that like staying online with you guys, whether it's TikTok, YouTube, podcast, which by the way, the podcast is still like going up. I'm just like shocked. I'm just proud. Like, I'm just like, wow, people like to hear us talk shit about ghosts. You know what I'm saying? Like,
interacting with you guys, like, it makes us so happy to see that you love it, you know.
Mm-hmm. We want to stay connected, so we're trying to like execute this in a way of in the past we'll have these like spurts where you guys know when we disappear from social media it's because of the filming side, like there's something going on with the filming side, so we're trying to get this planned and executed in a way that we don't have those humps where we like disappear for like a month or two at a time and then
it's
like
so-
recently we like passed out for 2 months, like literally like fell asleep for 2 months. So
it was so needed though. We were also in a situation where, you know, we prepped content but then the algorithm completely changed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's hard because then you have to go back to the drawing board and you're like, okay, wait, I've got to rehash this.
Mm-hmm. we switched this. Like Instagram was the big thing and now like the hotness is TikTok, so we've had to really redo all of our planning. And we're shooting for two social medias. We have, obviously, my own and Kat's own, and then her business, and then Ghost Girl Diaries. So we're trying to, like, it's just leveling it off. So, yeah, but it's going good, though, still. So
it's going in the right direction now. I'm really excited.
It is. Speaking of TikTok, so there's some, like, gatekeeping's, like, a big thing with TikTok. And, like, I feel like gatekeeping's always been a thing, but, like, now that TikTok moves so fast, like, it's crazy because if you're not on TikTok, just go get on TikTok. Like, you'll fall. It's obsessive, okay? Like, I catch myself on there way too long. But TikTok, it moves faster than media. It moves faster than the news. It moves faster than Facebook. It moves faster than Instagram. Like, you can upload a 60-second video. Bam, you get 100,000 views on it. Like, it's so fast. So literally, it's interesting because even people that are doing regular news, like anchoring, like, kids are literally becoming their own news anchors, which is fascinating to me because it's like lightning speed of when we need the information.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's so organic. It's mm-hmm. it's very organic over on TikTok.
It is. And I think that that's what changed for us too, was when Instagram got purchased out by Facebook, it did halt like the authentic side of the algorithm. And it that sucks. Because they always want you to pay for ads. And like, that's how you do promotions. And like with TikTok, you don't have to do that. It's like, it's its own algorithm. So anyway, we follow all of the paranormal, like, big channels and hotness. Like, we're always on top of it. Anybody that's like, you know, uploading new content. And then when you get in that algorithm groove of, I'm in like sort of the alt gothic community mixed with the paranormal community and the witchcraft community, certain videos will start popping up. And this isn't one particular creator that we're talking about. This is like the community is when we're discussing these. So something that's sort of going on right now is something Kat and I talked about this morning. And I think it's really important to talk about, not only on the paranormal aspect side, but also on the witchcraft side. Now, Kat's more into the witchcraft side than I am, but it doesn't mean that I haven't done spell work. It just means that she's really like divulged into that a lot more. So something that's been going on with TikTok, paranormal algorithm, witchcraft community, is something that's called gatekeeping. I don't like gatekeeping because my first sort of taste with gatekeeping was when you have a lot of creators that start telling people, don't sage, don't smudge your house. It should only be done by people that have indigenous heritage. And I have addressed this over and over again. And I don't even have to address it alone. I have friends from many different tribes. I'm obviously just Cherokee, but I have friends from several different tribes. And I have this discussion with them. And we all hate that people gatekeep smudging and saging, because it just, I hate to say this, but like, when you see those videos when somebody says you shouldn't sage unless you're like Native American descent, it's always like a Karen or like a white girl. And I know I look like a white girl, but I'm not. And it's always this white girl that's like, you shouldn't do that, like that's exclusive and like gatekeep for like the Native Indigenous community. And it pisses me off because it's like, let an Indigenous person speak on that. Now, if an Indigenous person comes in, not me, but if an Indigenous person comes in and says, I don't agree with just anybody saging or smudging, they are entitled to have that opinion. I do know of one person that does not like that other people have adopted the ideology, okay? But out of my entire group of friends that are Indigenous, everybody thinks it's ridiculous that it's being gatekeeped. So that's not the only thing. That's where I got an introduction to the quote gatekeeping community. The newer thing is there's a couple of things. There's a gatekeeping issue with paranormal now, and I'm sure that these will come up. And then there's also a gatekeeping issue that's now stepped in with witchcraft. So let's do the witchcraft one first, because I just feel like that's where it kind of started, and then it like sprung off from there. So the witchcraft gatekeeping issue that's happening is essentially people are doing ancestry DNA, and they're getting, which Kat's getting ready to do hers. I've already done mine. I don't want opinions on it. Some people are like, oh my God, you don't want the government to have your DNA. Are you serious? They already have it. They already know my social and they have my bank account information and I carry a smartphone. So, I know. Well, it's true. It's just stupid. And I don't have to worry about my DNA because I'm not a serial killer. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I have an ancient uncle that did kill people, then I hope that they take him down. That's my opinion on ancestry DNA. I mean, right?
Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
Then don't murder people and leave your DNA behind or rape people. You know what I mean? Like, there's the answer. God. Anyway. I don't, because it's true. So people are doing their ancestry DNA. They're finding out that they are related to Salem. Like, people that were on trial in Salem or people that were accused of witchcraft in Salem. And the gatekeeping thing that's happening is if you are related to a witch or someone from Salem, you shouldn't be proud of it because that person may or may not have actually practiced witchcraft. And why are you carrying that on down on your lineage? So you, Kat, I'm going to let you kind of take this over because, and I mean, I'll like interject obviously, but you know Salem like the back of your hand because you've been there literally as many times as I've been to the Stanley Hotel.
Right, right.
Like, and you like eat, breathe, and sleep it. Like, you're literally like a couple hours away from Salem. Like, it's been your life. You also think that you have ties to Salem as well?
I do. I believe I have past life. I don't know if it was one of the accused or executed, but I do feel like there's a past life from there. I've always felt a strong connection.
So do you think that people should, like, the gatekeeping issue is if someone finds out they're related to someone from Salem, do you think they should not be claiming that they have witch lineage because of what happened in Salem? And, like, practicing witchcraft, you know what I mean? Like, am I being clear? Like, is this clear? Am I being clear about this?
Yeah, like, you know, I think that if you want to practice witchcraft and then do so. You know, I don't think that that means that you shouldn't practice it, you know, because you have descendants from Salem. But it doesn't take away, it shouldn't take away from that, you know, the ancestry side of it. And the theory, and we talked about this morning, is, and I've seen a couple of people talk about this on social media more recently, in regards to saying that if, you know, the people that were executed for witchcraft were innocent and they did not practice witchcraft. So,
it's claimed. You know, due to trail work, paperwork, what we can actually see with our eyeballs, whatever's left, is that they said, I'm being accused of witchcraft, but I am not practicing witchcraft. And then they were executed anyways, essentially.
And I guess the crazy thing, too, is that the only credible evidence that we would have of said person, said accused person of doing witchcraft is them admitting to it. And they had no choice but to admit to it, even if they weren't. Otherwise, they would have been hung. And those that were hung were saying that they were not witches. So they say that, you know, if you have descent from Salem, like, you know, you should think bigger of that or, you know, better than that because those people weren't actually witches. Like, don't say that, you know, we're the granddaughters that, of those you couldn't burn. Yeah, it's very muddled, but I do agree on the standpoint that we talked about earlier today, which was, we don't know, like, what if they did? Mm-hmm. We weren't there during that time, you know? So,
well, and if you're being accused of witchcraft, like, and let's back up for a second. So with Salem, as we know, there was like literal witch hunts going on in Ireland, Scotland, London, Europe, where a lot of European countries, they were actually burning you at the stake. That didn't happen here. They were only hanging and one person was stoned, stoned to death. But essentially, the government sort of got in on this so-called witch hunt. And we've done streams on this, so I'm not going to go into like factual information. You'll have to find other streams. I think Kat and I did like a huge stream on this one time. But essentially, the government got in on this witch hunt deal and found loopholes, because that's what the government's good at doing. And they found out that if they accused someone of witchcraft and they were put on trial, that if they were gone from their land for X amount of days, they could actually revoke that land and put it under, like, U.S. government property. So essentially what started happening over and over again was the government was like, oh, loophole, we can just start taking everybody's freaking land, even if they're not a witch, just start accusing. But
it was like halfway through too, because the first half, you know, crops were dying. They, you know, they assumed that was because the devil was in town, you know, or like the witches were around type of thing. So when it first began, they legitimately thought that there were witches in town, but it wasn't until like a few months in, that they did start to find those loopholes, and they started to, you know, people accusing others that had big parts of land. And as soon as you were accused, all of that land was sent off to,
it was seized.
And it wasn't yours anymore. And that's why Giles Corey, the one who was pressed to death, stoned to death, was like, do what you will. You know, like, I have it written down in papers that, you know, my land is going to go to my grandchildren.
And he was the one that was stoned because he was the one saying, I figured you out. I know what you're doing. You're taking people's land. And it slowly stopped after that.
Oh, he was the last one to go. And that's when people started waking up because they were putting two and two together.
So now backing up again to like witch talk and whatnot, essentially, people are saying you shouldn't go around saying that you're, you know, proud of your witch heritage if you are descent lineage through ancestry DNA of Salem, because you're claiming you're a witch and that you're taking on, you know, your great grandmother's role or whatever. Yet if you look in the paperwork of Salem, they said that they were not practicing witchcraft. Do you really know that? If I were being accused of witchcraft, knowing I was either going to be stoned or hung, do you think I'd walk into court and be like, oh, yeah, I'm totally a witch, 100%? No, you would walk in and be like, no, I'm not a witch. I don't know what you're talking about. You're going to deny it to the hill if it means attempting to save your life.
It's true. We really just don't definitively know. And that's part of the problem, because I watched the video too. A couple of people were talking about it on TikTok and on Witch Talk. And I don't know. I don't believe that you can definitively say, you know, were you in 1692? Like, did they tell
you? Yeah. If you were, I want to talk to you. Like, if you're a time, I seriously, like, if like, because all we have right now is paperwork from the court systems that are left over, which also, by the way, if you haven't seen it, is so fucking hard to read. It's not even funny because it's this fancy little teeny cursive. And like, they didn't even know where Hallows was Hallows Hill till recently, because that's not even in the paperwork. Yeah. But my point is like, you don't know, like, if somebody finds out they're related to Salem and they want to practice witchcraft, let them fucking do it. I'm sorry. Like, who gives a shit what skin off of your ass is it causing anybody else?
Well, you shouldn't be demeaning people from them continuing on or, you know, saying that they are a witch in honor of their ancestors, because who knows? Maybe there were, you know, things down the family line if there was lineage. Maybe they did know they were practicing.
100. Don't you think a family member down in lineage would know more if someone in their family was practicing witchcraft than just looking at court documents or factual evidence that we have from Salem?
I guess I don't like the gatekeeping aspect of this, because people that are gatekeeping have no idea, because they don't have lineage from Salem. So they have no business telling other people what they should and shouldn't be doing in order to make them look stupid.
Okay, agreed. And let's play pretend and say for a second that you, Kat Cormier, had a family member that was on trial for Salem, and you have evidence that this person was, in fact, practicing witchcraft, although it was never publicly admitted. Are you supposed to tell the public your private family information?
Oh, no one is entitled to share anything.
No one's entitled to shit.
Right. No one's entitled to shit. It's tricky because it's like, you know, it is a sensitive topic talking about these victims, and it is horrible what happened. And we're not saying it's not, but what we're saying is to be mindful of spreading false information, because we do not know if those that were accused were witches or not. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Well, in my opinion, and I'm just going to say, in the beginning of, you know, Salem happening, there was one person that started this whole witch hunt thing. And I, once again, I'm not going into details because that's not what this stream's about. But I wouldn't be shocked if the first few people accused were, in fact, practicing witchcraft. You realize that, once again, throwing salt over your shoulder when you're cooking is witchcraft? You realize putting up a Christmas tree is witchcraft? Do you realize knocking on wood, stirring your drink a certain direction is witchcraft? Do you realize who's blowing candles out on their birthday? You realize that's also witchcraft? Like, you could have been accused for anything. And once again, if you do find out your lineage from Salem, and there was some effing trauma that went down there, like, these people were hung. Like, I mean, once again, what my podcast is about, critically think about what it would be like to watch a human being hung, taking their last breath, having a rope wrapped around their neck, losing their footing, and you have the government doing it, clapping as your aunt is literally losing her breath, like suffocating to death. Her neck is being broke from the rope, whatever. Understand the family trauma that has happened in this lineage. And whether they practice witchcraft or not, as a granddaughter, great-niece, whatever, you might want to pay respects to your family no matter what by saying, you know what, I live in 2021 now and no one's going to stop me and I'm going to publicly practice witchcraft. Who knows if they're incarnated family members? It could be the same person incarnated in this lifetime. We talked about earlier paying off karmatic debts and closing ancestral trauma.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain what that means?
Oh my gosh, that's like a whole dark rabbit hole in itself. But, you know, they say there's a few different ways you can go about this. So they say that, you know, based off of your ancestry, that there's a certain amount of trauma that you can carry into this life. And if you are, I don't want to say chosen one, but if you are the person that decides to take it upon yourself to break those generational curses, to break that karma that past generations put on themselves or put on others, you know, then that's going to be a hard life in this life, especially as an empath light worker. Some of your karma is based off of not only the things that you have done in this life or in your past life, but also tied to your ancestry as well. Mm-hmm. And that goes into a whole thing with like shadow work and of course therapy. Go to therapy. But
go to therapy a lot. Okay. Cause I've done it. Okay. Well, yeah, okay. I mean, do you have ancestral trauma that you had to heal?
Oh, yes, and I'm going to be learning more about it when I do my ancestry kit next week, mm-hmm. you know, especially when it comes to, like, colonization and stuff like that, you know, and what ancestors did, because a lot of our ancestors did it.
I had a lot of ancestral trauma to heal. My mm-hmm. family was on the Trail of Tears. There's something called the Dao's Roll, okay, and the Dao's Roll means infinitely, your bloodline was on the Trail of Tears. My family suffered genocide. Most of us didn't make it out. So not everyone in the Cherokee Nation is on the Dao's Rolls. My bloodline is 100%. And I'm just going to say there is a stigma around Native American culture and Indigenous people. And the stigma is alcoholism and addiction. Drug addiction, alcoholism. So a lot of people make fun of Indigenous people for having alcohol issues or drug issues. But you don't look at why. Why? Because our family barely survived genocide. And they're sitting there still, most of my family still on the res, scared to leave the res because of the genocide we suffered. My grandmother was one of 8 children that chose to leave the res. Like, I am the chosen one, unfortunately. Was it easy? No. I still have so many cousins and aunts and uncles who suffer. My aunt died from alcoholism, and it's a lineage trait that went down the line. And once again, you're looking at Salem. Ancestral trauma exists. And if a witch decides to come out saying, I am related to so-and-so, and I'm choosing to live my truth in 2020 as lineage and surviving, let her be. Let her live it.
You know, it was also really interesting that I think might help make some of this make, like, sense, is the person in question was talking about having lineage with the Putnams. Mm-hmm. And the Putnams were a really big factor in accusing people. So they were the ones, that whole family were the ones, you know, pointing the finger, which... Not condoning that behavior, but that was also the only other way to survive, was to accuse people. So
yes, didn't do it. You're right. No, say it louder for the people in the back. Why would you have to accuse others? Why? So you were not accused.
So you were not accused, literally. Bam. So you were the first one to do it. And sometimes, you know, people would accuse others, and then it would be this back and forth, and then both of you were kind of screwed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Putnams were very much a part of that whole process of the accused and accusing people. And this girl was saying that she had lineage from there, and she is a practicing witch in this life. And the person that was trying to make their point,
it said, was stitched quite a few times from different people.
Yeah. From different people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this person that was gatekeeping was saying, do your facts, boo. You know, the Putnams were the ones accusing people, so you shouldn't be proud of that. But Crystal made a really good point this morning in saying maybe she is the one on her ancestral line, lineage, to break that curse and be a witch and embody it. To you know, right
make up for the ancestral trauma. Yeah, exactly.
And it's true, like, you know, and going back to what Crystal said about what this podcast is about, it's about seeing both sides and talking it out and just having a different perspective on things, because that really opened up my brain when Crystal said that this morning, because it makes total sense.
It's karmatic debts. We all owe them. You know, like, I remember I did a shadow work video on, not Ghost Girl Diaries, it was on my personal channel, which is, like, youtube.com/Crystal Leandra. It links in my bio, which is crystalleandra.com. But I did a shadow work video, because I remember talking to Kat about this, and I was like, I'm going to do a shadow work video about, like, how you can start your, you know, healing ancestral trauma. I remember Kat was like, good luck with that, because people are not going to be turned on to it. And it's exactly what happened. I think it was like a 30 or 40 minute video. It's a very introduction to shadow work to people that are interested in it. And I'll never forget all of the messages I got within the first 24 hours were like, oh my God, I would never want to do shadow work. Like, I don't want to ever consider healing my ancestral, like, no, I would rather scoop it under the rug and keep it hidden. And that's normal. I'm going to be honest. That's normal.
And that's on their path, that, you know, people will discover the shadow work and those aspects of themselves when they are ready, and they have to fully succumb to that at some point. So if it's not at that point, then that's fine, but it's going to come eventually.
Or you look at people who have taken on the shadow, which in this case is Salem. That's a huge effing shadow.
Yeah.
And now you're gonna criticize them for taking that shadow on, whether it was the Putnams or not. That's icky. You're a bad person, honestly. Like, you're not giving proper, like, positive energy exchange. Like, if these people want to take on that, that's heavy. You're right. Working with the Putnams and them being accusing all these people, you're right. But if this one person has come out of all these people to try to take on this trauma and heal it and say, the trauma stops with me, don't shame them for it. What kind of person are you pointing that kind of finger, boo? I think you need to look in the mirror. Am I wrong?
Wrong. You're not wrong. It was unsolicited advice when you really don't even know that person. You know, I feel like that shouldn't have been something that was stitched. I feel like if you had concerns or you wanted to spread awareness, you would message them or DM them. And who knows, like, maybe this person that was talking about her lineage didn't think about ancestral trauma, and it was just a natural response for her to follow the craft path to right those wrongs. Like, who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows? But that doesn't give anybody else the right to tell them what they should and shouldn't be doing,
mm-hmm.
In regards to their personal craft practice, especially.
Especially that. So now, going to the next chat, which is the gatekeeping of baby witches.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to admit and say I've used the term baby witch. I didn't realize that it could be used so toxically, that's not even a word. Let's make it a word. Toxically is a new word.
It is.
It is now. Toxicity. How do I say this without, let me think how to word this. So the term baby witch, when I used it, I meant for someone that had just started on the road. That didn't mean like I know more than you, you know less than me. That's not what it meant. It just meant like, oh, she's a baby. She just figured out her steps type of thing. Now with TikTok, it's been taken and twisted a whole different direction. And this sort of goes in turn, in my opinion, with this discussion of Salem and the Putnams. Because if you look at somebody who is now practicing witchcraft, and maybe they are not far into their road without using the term baby witch, now that you have shamed them in front of thousands of other people and stitched it, you might have just scared them off of their actual life path. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. But here's the other thing, too, that a lot of these people don't understand is, and by these people, I mean, you know, gatekeepers,
mm-hmm.
Is that maybe she's been practicing for a few years and didn't feel comfortable coming out of the broom closet quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because she's talking about it publicly doesn't mean that, like, she's also just beginning her path. Like, that is a really difficult thing to be open and be proud of and to literally come out of the broom closet with that. That's hard. So, honestly,
I'm getting upset. I'm getting hot. I need a Beyonce fan. Because I just feel like, you know, when I get triggered, my Aquarius moon is like, I'm ready to go. That's how I'm feeling.
Well, there was a whole thing, too, for a while, like, when you were talking a little bit about smudging at the beginning and it being, like, categorized as, like, a closed practice.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that's happening on Witch Talk, too, is that they're saying that tarot is a closed practice.
What? I haven't heard that one.
It's a whole other story in itself.
I'll tell you what should be a closed practice. Shamanism, okay? You ain't no shaman unless you've been chosen by the tribe. That's a goddamn fact, okay? Oh, so let's just get that here, okay? Mm-hmm. Also, if you want to be a father or a beacon or what's the other one? Bishop. You better be going to Catholicism over the little pond there, okay? There's another closed practice. Okay, let's talk about some real closed practices. Don't get me on my soapbox of that. Or cat, for that matter.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Well, especially when it comes to Salem.
You what?
I said, especially when it comes to Salem.
You froze. I think it's my energy. I just need to calm down. My energy's just... She's frozen.
Oh, your video thing on my channel here says, like, it's in the red.
It's me. I'm sorry. I need to breathe. It's me. I'm sorry. I emit a lot of EMFs when I get going. I probably stir my own paranormal activity up. You know what I'm saying? Is it unfroze?
Yes, it's better now.
Okay, so are you. Okay, so I'm breathing now. So now back to, just one step back, talking about Salem, the Putnams, baby witches. Okay, let's just get back on that topic for a minute.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I don't like gatekeeping or being blocked in any of those categories is because if we really look backwards, all of us, anybody that's even involved in witch talk, even the gatekeepers, if you look back to when witchcraft, you know, origins or like started, it was all about female and women empowerment, all of it, okay? And I do not believe in women cutting other women down. I don't believe women putting other women in gatekeeping boxes either. And I think that's what bothers me so bad about all... How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I have to agree. You know, we should be coming together, not apart and dictating what others should and shouldn't be doing with their craft. And, you know, this was something also I chatted about with Crystal this morning regarding the term baby witch, is that, first off, we were all quote-unquote baby witches at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you've been on this craft path for a hot minute, you know that it is always a learning journey. It you never know everything, ever. I learn something new every day in my craft practice, and I'm proud of that. You know, you want to be learning and active in that so you can have that wisdom to share with other people and not gatekeep them, but give them the space to choose what they decide they want to do with that information, you know, and maybe give them that info that they didn't know as well. So it makes me really upset. It makes me really upset when people use the term in a really derogatory way. And I think my theory on it was that I think a lot of gatekeepers or witches in the craft community that feel the need to control and feel the need to belittle people and make them feel small because they're a baby witch. I swear they follow the hashtag baby witch just to sit there and like mom them, mm-hmm, and put them down. And that is not what the craft community should be about, mm-hmm, ever. Mm-hmm. We should be coming together. We should.
Yeah, I have so many things that I could say about it. You know what I mean? Like, I remember the first time, which was years ago. I can't even remember when this happened and when it was exactly. So this had to have been in my heightened paranormal YouTube career. So I would say 2015-ish. I could be off a little bit, but let's just call it 2015-ish. And I distinctly remember doing a stream, or I'm sorry, at the time it wasn't a live stream like we do now. It was an uploaded video. And in the video I said, guess what? If you like paranormal and you're into paranormal and you practice paranormal and you communicate with the dead, you are doing witchcraft. If you love ghost shows and you watch paranormal shows, you are participating in witchcraft. Why? Because it's necromancy. And it was freeing, but I remember a lot of people were like, oh my God. Oh my God, no, I am not a witch. And it's like, why are we? I saw this quote the other day online. I know I reposted it, but this is the big question I want to ask everybody. Why, as a society, have we been trained to be so afraid of the witches instead of the people that were hanging them and burning them?
Yeah, I've seen that one a lot too. And it's true. It's true, and that is the exact reason as to why we should be coming together. Because honestly, you know, these people putting down others and stitching them to make them feel small or stupid are just as worse as the people that were getting them ready to off them.
You mean, yeah, like hang them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all based on, oh, I have more followers than you, so I'm going to like make you look bad in front of everybody because it's going to give me credit and I'm going to like look good and I'm going to like, it's the tea. And it's just, it's terrible. It's terrible. Yeah. And I think the part that scares me is it makes people afraid of the craft practice. You're right. There's a broom closet of coming out. I remember when I told that to everybody, I think half my followers zipped on me and the other half were like, cool. We're all witches. We're in paranormal. You know, like what? Right. But on that side of it, like I'm so proud of my paranormal like career that I'll scream at the top of my lungs. I practice necromancy with contacting the dead. Like it's what I live for. You know, like we just won 4 film festivals. Like life is like, that's what I live for. I eat, breathe and sleep paranormal. But for people to come out and say, I was one of the first paranormal big YouTubers, you know, that like came out like discussing paranormal. And that's hard for people because we've been shamed out of it in society. So when these people come out on TikTok talking about their lineage and I'm a witch and I do all this and I practice and then you shame them for it, you're right. You're just like the freaking witch hunters, bro.
Not supportive. That's not supportive.
There's other things that I've seen too, which are like the fear of Ouija boards. And like, I'm not going over that again, but geez, what do you want to dip into that again?
Crystal has an awesome video on that, by the way. You should go watch it.
that's your plug. Just go watch the video.
I think, in my opinion, that people's reactions to Ouija boards are one of two things. One is they have never used a Ouija board and they are kind of allowing like society to rule their mindset on it. They're like on the bandwagon of like evil, yada yada. Or the second is somebody legitimately went through a not good situation. And for that, they have their reasons as to why they don't like it. Mm-hmm. But like with anything, even when communicating with spirits and using a spirit box or, you know, hosting an EVP session, you need to make sure that like you open and close it properly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no saying that something still can't come forward. Or that you still might have a negative experience when doing so. But it's really, in my experience in using Ouija boards, it's really rare. Really rare.
It's, you know, I had my friend texted me a couple weeks ago that was watching some paranormal show. I don't remember what it was. But he was like, dude, what do you think about Ouija boards? He's like, they scare the shit out of me. Like, I just, they scare me. And I'm like, why? Because you've watched the Hollywood Ouija movies?
Literally.
Because you get these TikToks and videos on YouTube of people like, this is a Ouija board from the 1600s. I'm going to break it in half and burn it. Is that why? And you're going to bury it 6 feet under? That's why you're afraid of Ouija boards? Every other piece of communication that we have, spirit box, is scarier to me than a Ouija board. You can hear the damn demon's voice come through and you're not afraid of a spirit box, but you're afraid of a freaking Ouija board?
Yeah, a board, a piece of plastic. But you know what? But it's true. Like, think about craft practice as well and like spell work and things of that nature. When using a Ouija board, it's the same thing. Like, intention matters. Mm-hmm. So if your intention to mess around and summon Zozo, then guess who might pop up and don't be shocked? You know what I'm saying?
Okay. But you have a good quote that you've been using recently that I have like freaking adopted because it's just so true. And your quote is, if you're going looking for something, you're gonna find it.
You're going to find it. If you're looking for trouble, you're going to find it. And don't be shocked when that happens. And I'm not saying that that's not a scary experience for said person, or, you know, not devalidating their experience, but it's true. It is just the truth of it.
Well, and it's energetically, I mean, that's like the law of attraction, which we've talked about that on here too. But if you're, let's say you're going into a location and you're like, I want to find Zozo or I want to find a demon, you are already vibing at that level. You're already vibing at the level of the demonic stuff. So guess what? You're going to find it because you're vibing at that level. You're trying to attract it towards you. It's like magnets.
Yeah.
But like, we also have a new theory that we've recently adopted on demonic activity. Yes. We've both experienced demonic activity, but the new theory that we have on it, which is another sort of gatekeeping thing of like, oh my God, don't go into a cemetery. You might run into a demon. Like, don't go into, and it's like, what? Where the hell did you come?
Into a coyote, more than to a demon, honestly.
No, but really, no? You're like, what? Like, where do these people come up with? Like, I'm sorry, I'm confused. In our opinion, we think that, like, you know, you have humans and, like, our human, like, spirit form. And then you have angels, right? If you believe in angels. And then if you believe in spirit guides, that's another sector. And if you believe in different types of aliens, like, you could have reptilians and Arcturians and Lyrans. You have those beings. Those are all their own energetic levels. Then you have things like trolls and gnomes and leprechauns, which I've ran into weird things like that at the Stanley Hotel. And then you have demons. Why does everybody put the demon category into the dark? Because of a Bible that was written how many hundreds of years ago, however long ago, and it's been reinterpreted how many times, and which form of the Bible have you read? Okay, I'm calming down. I'm sorry.
It's true. Like, every being and species has a class.
Yes.
We have, like, the human race, we got the starseeds, we got aliens, I don't know, maybe mesh aliens.
Indigo children, together. The grays, yeah, you know, the greens.
It's
true. Right.
You know, and there are going to be good ones and there are going to be bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
I know of people, I'm not friends with them, but I have acquaintances that I follow on TikTok that worship demons.
Mm-hmm.
Or daemons, however you pronounce it. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. And it's fine. It's fine. Literally, it's fine. It's like any normal deity.
Well, what we're saying is, I'm not as afraid of a demon as I am of what humans can do. Have you seen what we've done to this planet? Have you seen what we've done to each other? And you're going to sit here and tell me that a human spirit can't be as dark or as bad as a, quote, demon? You can do everything here on hell that you've talked about in the fucking Bible. I'm sorry, but you know what I mean? Like,
it's true.
So my point is, and Kat, this is our new theory that we've adopted, is, you know, demons are their own category, yes. Are they from a lower underworld? Probably, right where, like, fairies, gnomes, and stuff like that sit. But they're their own class, like human spirits. I think there's good ones or okay ones, and then not so okay ones. How do you, like, decide which one? I don't know. I'm not in that realm. But I'm just... Research, yes. But... You know, there's been gatekeeping with, like, don't paranormal investigate because you're going to bring in a demon. Oh, for God's sake. Jesus Lord. You're telling me that you don't think the human spirit of Ed Gein isn't a demon? He was, like, dismantling human beings in his garage over a cauldron wearing their skin suits. You don't categorize him as a demon? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you get where I'm going with this? Picking up what I'm putting down? You know what I'm saying?
It's silly. It's silly, honestly. I mean, you can't avoid it anyway. I mean, even when investigating, you could go to a location that has some pretty hefty paranormal activity that's not necessarily dark, but there's some stuff going on, and you could run into a demon without realizing it, mm-hmm. you know? Like, or it could be a darker entity there, not even necessarily a demon. Like, you don't know what you're going to bump into.
Do you know how many times I've worked on the Ouija board? And, like, I mean, honestly, like, I'm not even talking, like, legitimate. Like, sometimes I've been to places where it wasn't even, like, a planned investigation. It was, like, I literally went to a ghost hunt for a birthday party one time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it was just for fun. But you know how many times I've been on the Ouija board and something comes through and it spells out Zozo?
Oh, my God. That happened. Didn't that happen to us in Vegas?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And what did I do? I called it out.
You did. Yeah, I remember that. That was actually the day, by the way, in case anyone wants to hear a positive experience on a Ouija board, I communed with my spirit guide. She told me your name and how many possible past lives I've had. And it was a very pleasant experience. I did not feel any semblance of like low vibrational energy, no nothing. I'd do it again. I
And
have a Ouija board.
energy speaks for itself, though. When it came
Yeah.
through as quote Zozo, which is the
You knew.
demon
You
of the
knew.
Ouija board,
Yeah.
how did that feel in the room compared to the day that you went to see Annabelle?
Like nothing. Nothing. And a lot of these times, like, it's probably not even Zozo. It's just an entity trying to fuck with you know? And then see,
Jesus, cat.
it's
You're like, let me tell you
literally.
what it is, okay?
Well, it's true. Like, you know, like, and your response of like, is what's going to fuel that activity more? It's going to, you know, vibe off of that. Crazy. Craziness.
Anyways, I'm done with my soapbox at this point. You know what I
Just
mean?
frustrating. But you know what? To each their own.
I
To
do.
each their
I
own.
think the fear of Ouija boards is ridiculous. I know Robert Murch, he has like the world's largest, look him up. He has like the world's largest Ouija collection. Literally, I think he owns like 300 or 500 boards in his house where he has like a mini museum. You haven't got,
Live.
huh?
Where
East
does he
Coast.
live?
East Coast, I
He lives
think.
East Coast.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I've seen. I think he's come to Salem a few times. There's also a Ouija board museum in Salem.
Oh, I didn't know that. But yeah, he says
Yeah.
he has no activity in his house whatsoever. So I just think the fear of it is absolutely absurd. Once again, I'm shocked that you're willing to like use a spirit box and not a Ouija board. Like, it's ridiculous. There's also another thing going on TikTok where you shouldn't use a Ouija board. You shouldn't go to a cemetery to use a Ouija board because it's holy ground, and a Ouija board is like a dark communication device. And I'm, but yet you, but you can use anything else. You can use a spirit box. You can use an, EMF meter, a ML meter, whatever. But don't take the Ouija board because it's holy. Like, what do you want to?
Thing though again, if you're visiting a deceased loved one, it's all about your intention and setting your intentions and being respectful of the space. I don't, you know, I don't think there would be anything wrong with that if you were setting your intentions and being respectful of the space. And energy doesn't lie. You would know if an entity did not want to communicate with you.
I would like to know, like I'm gonna have like my fellow paranormal investigators that listen to this are gonna laugh because like I would like to know how many of you that are paranormal investigators have not used a Ouija board in a freaking graveyard. Because I feel like that was one of my first experiences. Like, of course, if you're 15, 16, you can't go to an expensive planned ghost hunt and you want to go experience paranormal activity. The easiest first place you're gonna go is a freaking cemetery at night with a Ouija board. Why? Because it's $10 at Kmart, Walmart. You know what I mean? Like,
Miss Kmart.
oh yeah, they
Are they
close.
still around?
No, I don't think so. I think that's
Oh, I
where I
miss
got mine.
Kmart.
Now you're
But
upset about
right.
Kmart.
But it's true. You only have to be 8 to use one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Like,
you can eat 8 to summon a demon, and 16 to
fine.
drive, 21 to
Fine. Like,
drink. It's fine.
the fear surrounding it, yes, absolutely is crazy. People's experiences, and if that's their opinion on it based off their crappy experience, that's one
Yeah,
thing.
but I
But
feel like if you were that scared using the Ouija board to begin with, you just shouldn't have been there, period. You know what I mean? Like if you were scared of anything to happen on the board, like you shouldn't be ghost hunting like at all because it's just silly.
And it's possible if you were fearful using a Ouija board that that could have resulted in some negative experience.
Yes.
Energy, no. Spirits, no.
Yeah.
So
In other words, when you're vibing at a level where it's a fear-based issue, they are going to know. And like I think people forget too, when you go in to investigate, you can set boundaries. You can say, spirit guides, whoever's with me, I'm asking that nothing dark comes in, period. There's a boundary. You've put up an energetic boundary.
And it works every time.
I know, I remember in Jerome, I took a Saint Michael medallion with me. And so did Aaron, my teammate, who's on the show with me, the tall, skinny guy.
Yeah.
And Aaron, we got separated at one point where we all three, they didn't show all the footage because obviously it was just too much to edit. But Aaron and I talked before we went in, and he's like, oh yeah, I've got this Saint Michael medallion. Like, I'm not gonna have, like, I'm gonna be fine. I'm gonna be safe. And I took it and I was like, yeah, I'm going to be safe, but I want anything to be able to interact with me, so I don't care. So when Aaron went by himself, he literally got nothing on camera, literally. He got no EVPs, no video footage, no evidence, no, he took still photos. That's my dog, sorry. And then also, I went with a St. Michael medallion and had no issue whatsoever. I got all kinds of evidence. Right. So once again, it's intention. It's energetic intention. So like he thought he'd be safe with the St. Michael medallion in his pocket. Well, he was so safe that he didn't experience any activity. You know what I mean?
Funny. Yeah, that's interesting.
But you and I kind of had that too when we filmed the pilot.
Yeah.
You were scared. You were like, because it was like your first official, not like scared, but like it was the camera. It was like the legit setup. Like it was the thing.
Yeah, and that too. You know, I mean, the energy in that place was just nuts.
And we went in, I think, did we have the Ouija board? No, we had the millimeter. And
the Ovilus.
Ovilus. And you were like frozen because you were nervous. And while we were in there, it took you like an hour to finally like, okay, I can't bubble up the whole time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the whole time we didn't hardly get any evidence at all. Because you were just like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. And then when you let that down, we got, like, the camera being thrown. We got, like, all the activity in the bathroom. I got called a bitch by a spirit on camera. Like, we got a lot of stuff. So yeah, once you...
Well, we had in the room that huffed and puffed.
Oh, yeah, he was like, he must smell. Like,
really?
Kat was like, is anyone with us? And he was like, oh, God. I'm just like, it was over this.
As a bellow. He was just like... Kristen and I turned, were like, did you, is he annoyed with us? Like, what the heck?
He was actually annoyed. He was
probably sick of my shit.
So, yeah, I mean, we're all sick of our shit at that point that night. It was a rough house. Oh, God, the whole house was falling into.
It was a rough house.
It was rough. I don't ever want to go back there again. Which is all. I think that, how that the pilot episode is what triggered me so bad with Destination Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was literally, like, condemned and was falling in the ground. And I can't imagine getting around that house without a flashlight.
Oh, the one that we were at?
Yeah.
There were holes in the ground.
I know.
Literally, the mines were still in the ground with a plank of wood over it.
Like, no, guys, like, in the bathroom of where we filmed, if you looked out the window, like, I'm talking, like, not even a foot was a hole in the ground. It went down into the mines that were underneath the house. So
there was a recent... death in there too. It was like, I think it was like 2007. Remember a little girl died?
Yeah, well, I mean, it should have been condemned, honestly. I didn't know how bad it was till we got there, and I was like, oops.
Well, it was good. It was awesome. The deer were cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a drug deal gone bad next door too. That was dangerous. Kat was filming it.
I was like, oh my God, this is great. And Crystal's like, get in the car.
Kat's got her camera mount, and she's like, I'm going to get this. And I'm like, Kat, it's a drug deal. Someone's going to get shot. I need you to get in the car and close the door, okay? And she was still like, ah, I'm going to get this.
I like tea. It's like dangerous tea.
It was really bad. I was like, let's go. This is not safe. Jesus.
We never left so fast. I think I still had the door slightly open when we like zipped out of there. It was hilarious.
Because everything was packed. We were done. That was the last day of the shoot. I was like, I am over this shithole. Let's go.
Oh, my gosh.
At least we know Kat will always hit the record button film. You know what I mean?
It's true.
Even in dangerous situations, you always make sure that record button's going. You know what I'm saying?
Pretty basic.
Pretty basic stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, next topic. What do we want to do? That was it. I'm off my soapbox.
On the first half.
So roundup is let people do whatever the F they want. Long story short. Mm-hmm. Who cares if it's a Putnam practicing witchcraft? Who gives? And once again, what if they were practicing witchcraft and only the lineage has like the actual information on it? You don't know this.
Maybe they were accusing people because they were witches.
Amen, sister, okay?
No. Who knows? No one knows. We were not in 1692, therefore we cannot say.
Honestly, who gives a shit who's doing what? Do you give a shit who's practicing witchcraft?
No. I mean, as long as you're not, like, hurting people.
Well, you know, I'm like, ruled by Aquarius, so if anyone wants to spell me, I'm ruled by karma, and it's just gonna come back to you like times five. So be my guest, because I like the show. You know what I mean? Your mic. Oh, there you are. Okay, I was like, your mic went out. Okay.
Did it?
There. Ooh, that was like phone sex operator status right there. You know what I'm saying? Jesus. All right. Oh, I missed a bunch of comments. I'm sorry, guys. I was on a freaking soapbox for like an hour. It's hard to get me off of those with my Aquarius moon. You know what I mean? Like,
about though.
Huh? This is
what we do.
What? Get on soapboxes?
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm sorry. It just happens. You know? Let's see. I have a life over death crucifix from the 1800s. That's a mood. Probably all of us have one of those or two, you know what I mean? Like, once you start accessing your Akashic records, you're like, damn, I've done some shit. You know what I mean? Like, whew.
20.
What'd you say?
I said I need 20.
Oh, my God.
It's fine.
Yeah, nobody wants to go through my Akashic records, okay? It's rough. I'm like, why am I here again? Oh, I remember now. No. So AHS, like, we should chat about this because it is cool. Like, they come up with some really cool characters, and I don't think people realize how much really goes into all the characters that they've developed and, like, inspiration by.
Yeah.
It's probably one of my favorite scripted paranormal series.
Agreed.
I mean, it can get dark, though.
Yeah.
Like, there were some episodes of Hotel I was like, just can't.
The only season I couldn't get through was Asylum. And I'm telling you right now, I think it's just an empath thing. When there was just some, like, electroshock therapy going on, it hurt me. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get through it. Mm-hmm. I had a horrible headache every time I watched it, and it wasn't from the screams.
Do you think that's, like, past life shit, though, now that we're talking about that?
That's creepy. Yeah, because I felt like I could watch everything else. I literally watched everything else and was totally fine. And this show is, like, bloody.
Like, there's some, like, rapey scenes in the hotel that I could not get through. And it was just like, whoa, this has got to be past life thing or something. You know what I mean? Like, it was, like, it hit way too close to home.
Yeah, that's how I felt in Asylum, which mood, also mood.
And I was like, I mean, just saying. So, anyway. But, yeah, I mean, it's good. But, like, it's almost too good. Do you think that's, like, a good way of putting it? Because it's, like, the scenes are, like, so accurate that you do get, like, transferred into them. Like, I think that's what was so hard. Like, when I started watching Coven, I was, like, not paying attention because it was so good. Yeah. And then I realized, like, with the Madame, you know, like, LaLaurie was in it involved, like, that character. And I was like, oh, my God, I need to really watch. Like, you can't be on your phone. Like, I'm really bad about watching movies or, like, episodes or something. I'll be on my phone scrolling through social media, like, as I'm watching. Or I'm, like, playing Candy Crush as I'm watching. And I do feel like AHS is one of those. Like, they have so many, like, packed, minute details that, like, you can't not. Like, you have to watch every second of it. You know what I mean?
It immerses you into their world, into that time period. Mm-hmm. It's so well done. And every ounce, even the little things, make sense at the end.
Yeah, cinematography wise, because a lot of people ask me this, like, you know, obviously I've given my opinion on the documentary side. Cinematography wise, for something that's scripted, this is, if I ever divulged or, like, dipped my toe into the scripted world, it would be something like AHS. I would direct something like AHS. Like, hands off to the cinematographers, the producers, the ADs. Like, oh my God. Like, they have that shit down, and it is so freaking good. Because it just looks perfect. And it does tell a story through the eyes of a time when that actually happened. Like, Madame LaLaurie was, like, legit in Louisiana. Like, that was real. And, like, she would kill her slaves and, like, torture them. And I guess it does, in a way, bring awareness, don't you think?
I think so. Yeah. Telling the story. It's messed up.
Especially in a time where people are so, like, desensitized to just, like, not caring and, like, being, like, living very, like, narcissistic, selfish lives. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. A lot of these characters, too, guys, because there's so many, we have chatted about in the past, just, like, a separate podcast. So if we don't dive deep into some of these characters, we do have podcast episodes on them, on a few of them.
Somebody just gave me another message here. It says, I'd rather deal with demons than evil humans. Amen. Amen.
Yep.
I'll say that I've been around demonic activity a lot. Not as much as they portrayed on TV. Like, please. It's just not. But Ed Gein, I don't have a problem with his energy personally. But I can see, like, you got sick in there. Didn't you get sick in Ed Gein's room?
Yeah, and then I had a dream when I came home.
So I can see where human spirits are, like, to me, way worse than any dark thing that I've encountered personally. That's just me. But that's somebody who's been involved with it for a long time and who's experienced it. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird, though, because I get a lot of dark stuff or, like, what would be proclaimed as demonic activity. It doesn't like me. I repel it. I've said that for years, and I continue to. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because my energy is so loud or high vibrational. I don't know if it's because of I'm a Lyran. I don't know if it's because I was baptized when I was a baby. I don't know if it's because of my indigenous heritage, but I repel it. It doesn't like me. But I do chase it because I'm interested in it. I want to encounter it. I want to know what it's about. Kat, it comes to you pretty freely.
It does, and I'm also baptized.
So that's not it. Let's eliminate that one.
Yeah, we're just going to eliminate that one. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it is interesting.
It is weird. Yeah, and it scares you. Like, you get scared.
I do, but I do have to say after Annabelle, I am feeling more comfortable, and I think that I'm really excited to get into more investigations, to have that opportunity to experience more, you know, and do more. But yeah, it is weird. It does attract to me.
I know. I wonder if it's because you're like innocent and you do come across very like, you're not really the newbie anymore, but you do come across as like, I'm the innocent. You are like the good witch out of all of us. Like, you know what I mean? So it does make you wonder if that's why it attracts you for some reason.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, Elfie gets like, but I don't know. Elfie says she always tries to go after like crawlers and they never.
That's true.
You know, so I don't know. Maybe it's just your vibing at their level. Great.
Like, do you want a hat? Do you want a hat? And they're like, oh my god. This
can I knit you a demonic hat,
please? Like, here is a demonic hat. Here's a Krampus hat.
Look, can we be friends? Because I don't want you to follow me home, okay?
Like, I'm like, knit you some mittens, okay? Do you need some mittens? I'm having a tantrum. Okay.
All right, we have another comment. Crystal and Kat, I recently left another sort of belief. I started out as a Christian, then became agnostic, then full-blown atheist as well as Satanist. I'm trying to learn from all the faiths. Any advice? Don't follow a faith.
Research and find what resonates for you.
Yeah, but I don't like organized religion, period. Kat and I recently did join the Church of Satan. What is it called? The Temple of Satan. Temple of
Satan? No, I think it is the Church of Satan.
Wait a second. I'm not going to say it because I last time I screwed myself. So hang on. Please stand by. Elevator music. I gotta go on TikTok and look it up. Da-na-na. Hang on, just stand by.
Da-na-na-na-na. Oh, temple.
Temple of Satan. Wait, are you right? Are you sure?
I'm looking now.
Temple of... I'm going to make sure it's right, because last time I screwed it up and I got...
Satanic Temple. The Satanic Temple.
The Satanic Temple. Okay. Yes, that's correct. So we have now joined the Satanic Temple. And they don't believe in Satanism, or like Satan as a deity, right? Isn't that correct? Like they don't. Yeah. But they're all for women's rights, LGBTQ, and they fight for rights for women and for LGBT, which Elfie's LGBT and Kat and I are for women's rights. So yes, we did actually officially join the Satan Temple, the Satanic Temple. Yeah. Making sure this is right. So it's thesatanictemple.com because I don't want to screw this up because you don't want to join the Anton LaVey one, okay, because that's a bad one.
It's an Airbnb and it's like stunning.
They have an Airbnb?
What's stunning.
But I'm going to check for hidden cams because I just don't trust a mofo. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, okay?
That's true.
But I'll go. So yeah, we joined the Satanic Temple, and the reasons why is because we support and we have donated towards their cause for women's rights. But yeah, we don't follow faiths, and that's because we've had bad experiences. Kat has been Catholic and followed Catholicism her whole life, which she still loves parts of it. But we don't believe in organized religion because I think it's bullshit, honestly. Like, how else do you want to word it better? That's your soapbox. Go ahead.
The St. Michael aspect of it. He's my homeboy. Mm-hmm. That's about it.
Yeah.
Hashtag that, religious trauma.
That could be a whole nother stream that I don't have time for.
It's a rant in itself. That's like a 5-hour.
Your 5-hour podcast.
I was baptized Catholic, raised Catholic, then we hopped around a lot. So I was Catholic and then Episcopalian. Mm-hmm. And then,
which one is that? Is that the deeper one than Catholicism?
That one is actually the more inclusive.
Oh, so that's like Lutheran to Christianity.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then I was Anglican, mm-hmm, for a while. And that's kind of where it like ended. And then was like a Sunday school teacher.
Now you're Satanist.
Turn pagan witch. It's fine. And again, woo! Like you can join the
Church of Satan, the Temple of Satan, or the Satanic Temple's free. You don't have to pay anything to be a part of it.
Yeah, you just join, and it was for advocacy for women's rights.
Yes. I was baptized Lutheran. I was raised Lutheran. What's that?
I didn't know you were baptized Lutheran.
Yeah, I was baptized Lutheran. Maybe that's why they're scared of me. Lutherans are a little bit more Bible thumping, you know what I'm saying? I was raised Lutheran, but also implemented with a lot of indigenous culture from my grandmother. She really pushed that on me. And as I got older, we kind of separated from that. My mom really only baptized me because I was dead when I was born, and she basically promised me to be a child of God when I died to make sure that I lived, because they didn't think I was gonna live. So that was when she took me to get baptized. So that was the part of it. So but yeah, I just don't like organized religion. That's just the damn truth. I could go into details about it. I love the Saint Michael thing too. I love archangels. There's certain things with Catholicism, like they're the only, ideology of like religion that believes in demonic possession, that talks about it publicly. So yes, I obviously, I'm eclectic, I guess. I take things I like of certain things, but I feel like there's a lot of things I don't like from organized religion too. Like how the Catholic Church could literally cure world hunger with the amount of money that they get from donations, and instead they just sit on it and they hide all the, they've done all these supposed possession releases with exorcisms, but they won't release the files publicly. You know what I'm saying? Sketch. Just part sketch.
Me, yeah, they're all in Vatican.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks that, and this is just a conversation in itself, but a lot of my viewpoints on the Catholic Church and like that money, I feel goes towards legal.
Oh, it does.
Where I'm going with that.
But they molest little boys and they go, the legal goes to that 100. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, the Anton LaVey is a little too dark. We've studied that church part. That's the darker side of Satanism. Then you have the Satanic Temple. And honestly, they don't really do a whole lot other than, like, advocate for religious rights, religious freedom rights, which is, like, women's rights, LGBT, so that's why we like that. We have donated to it, to the cause, and we've obviously joined the temple. Does that mean we're going to be going to the Satanic Temple every Sunday for church and stuff? No, I don't think so. But once again, we're taking things that we like, and that's what we do. So my biggest advice is don't follow one religion, because I don't know how people would be able to. I've never found something that I've fully believed in. I think you also need to research and look within yourself and decide what you believe within you.
Yeah, give yourself the space to research and find what resonates with you. And it's, mm-hmm, not going to happen overnight.
No.
So, you might find something that resonates with you now, and then 2 years from now, you switch it up, and that's okay too. Mm-hmm. There's really no right or wrong, and that's the beauty of the freedom of the craft path or any type of spiritual path in general. So
I'm going to tell you, though, if you already celebrate Christmas at all, packages or a tree, you're already pagan. Like, I feel like 98% to 100 people that are listening right now are already pagan. So, in fact, probably United States wide, possibly worldwide, if you celebrate Christmas boo-boo, you're pagan. So I'm just putting that out there too, you know. But yeah, pagan's also different from, you don't have to like study witchcraft if you're a pagan. So it's very fine lines. Not every pagan's a witch, but not, you know, like it goes both ways. You know what I'm saying? It can be like earthy and like spiritual. It doesn't have to be like spell work, but once again, you have to research it. So yeah, that could be, we should do a podcast on that. We should talk about different religions, but I feel like we'd piss a lot of people off. That sounds like fun.
We already do, so might as well keep the track record going.
Join
we're
the
just
club.
Sharing an opinion. We're just sharing an opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't like organized religion. I don't like the Catholic side because they don't let you get on birth control and like you breed like rabbits. I just don't think it's appropriate. So, like, I mean, if you want to breed like rabbits, dude, get it. You know what I mean? Get that booty. But I don't think that it should be based on a priest telling you that because it's religion. Does that make sense?
Or that you should.
Or that you should, or you can't use birth control. Like, you know what I mean? Like, dude, just.
Yeah. Anyway. Messed up.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all. Soapbox again. Jesus. Fuck. We're literally, like, all off track tonight. It's fine. That's how the day's been. You know what I mean?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. It's gonna be fine.
All right.
American Horror Story.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about first? Murder House?
I'm looking at the first link on the notes. The loop.
I like that they've incorporated a lot of stuff, but, like, they also had sort of a Lizzie Borden facade that they use as well. The Lizzie Borden is when she obviously killed her stepmother and then her dad with an axe. I know that we're having issues with the Lizzie Borden stuff right now, but I really would like to go there to experience the location. I won't be able to now because I told everybody to boycott it. But, I mean, someday, if we can pay enough money to get in there, which I'm sure they would never say money talks, you know what I mean? But I would like to just experience. Have you ever been there?
Been past it. I've never been in.
Mm-hmm.
Fall River, Mass is an interesting little town.
So. Is it like Connecticut and like creepy and weird?
Connecticut's a whole other world. Connecticut is literally its own energy. If you're in New England, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Fall River is just like really creepy. It's just, I've always gotten a really creepy vibe from Fall River, Mass.
Really? You think it's just like a dark portal or something?
I think there's just some shady shit that's always gone on in that area, even outside of Lizzie Borden. So,
is it a port area? Is it like a port area?
Not the area I went through. Mm. I went through literally like the center of town.
Oh, okay.
And it's up on my left-hand side when I was driving up the road.
Because I've noticed, I don't know how you feel about this, because you're East Coast, so you know, but I've noticed like a lot of port towns are very strange energy.
Yeah, well, think of the water, you know, EMFs and stuff
Well,
like
the
that.
Water, but they also would bring in slaves through the port towns, and then like weird stuff, like even the Shanghai tunnels up in like Oregon, where like they were putting like human trafficking and stuff. Like ports are weird places.
It's weird, too, because in Portsmouth, we literally are, like, a Portsmouth, and Hampton Beach as well, like, lots of areas that were near water also had train tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, dumping bodies everywhere, left and right, using the train. Messed up.
So what, they would, like, get on the train and then die, or that someone would murder them on the train? Or just throw their bodies there?
Like, cover up their tracks and just, like, throw the body from the train into the water.
What?
Messed up.
This sounds like a movie. We need to write a script on this. Elfie, I need you to write a script.
Elfie, are you watching?
Oh, she just got in. Elfie's on vacation.
Love
hey,
you.
Boo. We love you, Elfie.
Hey.
She's like, oh, God, guys, stop. Yeah, so, okay, so we've agreed. Maybe that's what we need looking for locations. Port towns. We haven't put that on the list.
I'm writing it down right now.
Note that shit, because that's a good idea. Like, we're always like, oh, lighthouses or, like, brothels. Port towns, that's true. I would love to do like veteran abandoned hospitals too, especially after what that one idiot show did, like butchered them. But they're hard to get into sometimes. I mean, we do have a connection that we could get in, but it's still, it's just like, anyway.
Yeah.
So what was your favorite season of AHS?
I really liked Coven.
Yeah, it's my fave.
But I also liked Hotel.
Really?
Yeah, I know, it's really messed up, but I liked it because I like Lady Gaga too.
Maybe I need to try to get through it.
Yeah, try to push through it. Try to push through
maybe
it.
Maybe I'll research the episodes ahead of time and then decide which ones I can deal with.
Yes, do that. I did that for some of them too, because some of them were like, whoa.
Oh.
But it's weird because...
There was one episode that had, like, you know, the rapey person.
Exactly
with, like, a metal thingy. Okay?
Yep.
With spikes. Yep. And yeah. I was like, nope. That was where I was like, done. Shutting it off. Done. Can't.
So, I know it's really messed up, but, like, I could get through that season better than I could Asylum.
See, I watched Asylum, and it's messed up. But, like, okay, the one good thing with, I feel like, Asylum is, like, every paranormal investigator needs to watch it. And that's because you need to understand, like, because you had, like, the demon things also, like, living under the tunnels or whatever. Or mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. Like, outer-worldly, whatever they were. But, like, yeah. I think it's so important because, like, that literally, like, drops that fourth wall of understanding when you go into Asylum. What these people suffered from. Like, don't go in and be like, oh, is there a demon here? Come get me. Like, there is a more chance there's going to be an actual person that was, like, brutally, like, tortured, or a nurse or a doctor that's still lingering, rather than a demon. You know, like, why do we always focus on that? And I'm sorry, but the doctor, once again, why are we creating fear around a demon creature and we're not afraid of the doctors and nurses who were torturing the people?
Same thing as Salem.
Why are we not are we afraid of the wrong people here, guys?
True.
I'd be more afraid of running into the doctor and the freaking nurse. Like, it's like House on Haunted Hill. Do you remember that movie?
Oh my god, that was good.
That was good. We should find that place and investigate that. Ooh.
Ooh.
Put that on the list. Locations of movies sets. That's a good one. Cause like they said Exorcist was like haunted and what. I'm sorry guys, this is how Kat and I conversations go. We're like, oh, I have another idea. Let's do it again.
I have so many notes. It's not even funny.
I have notes for my notes.
I do.
So, okay, LaLaurie was part of New Orleans, obviously. I think that Elfie and I have talked about LaLaurie. And she was, like, the slave owner. And, like, there was a little girl that ended up dying, right? Like, that's when she was finally investigated. But people would investigate her, like, the public. This is when slavery was still an appropriate thing. And mm-hmm. she would abuse these slaves, and then they would take the slaves away, and they'd put them back on the auction house, and LaLaurie would go back and repurchase her slaves.
So dark. So dark.
Can you, like, oh my god, once again, this is, like, the part I love, is, like, critically thinking about this. Imagine being the slave that you've been tortured, starved, beat, like, near death. Somebody saves you. The government comes in and saves you. You go back up on the block for auction, and this same bitch buys you. Jesus!
Totally, like, she's sick, man.
Oh my god, she was dark. She was really bad.
The friggin' demon.
But Kathy Bates did amazing playing her, in my opinion.
Totally. Totally.
So, she lived in this, like, white socialite, and obviously Kathy Bates was a part of this. It was in Coven. It's, like, literally the first episode, I think, isn't it? That she's, like, introduced her character. And they don't know. Like, there's so much speculation around this. And this goes back to, like, the gatekeeping thing again. Because we have stuff in the books.
Yeah.
But we don't know what really happened. Like, there's also theories that maybe she was, like, sleeping with some of her slaves. And, like, she was into, like, really bad, like, S&M. And she, like, enjoyed, like, beating them and cutting them and hurting them. We don't really know. Like, okay, for example, take your own life. Like mine, literally, I have a book that I wrote. Like, this is my love stories. But do you think everything that's happened to my life is in this one book?
No.
No. And I'm going to write more books. And do you think everything is going to be in those books? Do you think I've shared every single thing I've gone through in the world on social media and on YouTube?
Oh, gotta keep some things private.
You do, but that's my point, is, like, even with the Salem thing, is, like, okay, you're gonna go off on this tangent and be like, oh, yeah, you don't know, you know, oh, they weren't witches. You can't claim witchcraft because they weren't witches. Do your history, boo. You don't even know. None of us know what people really were like. We don't know. We didn't live in that time.
It's true.
That's what drives me crazy, and, like, that's why it's so important when you do your history. When Kat and I filmed for the pilot, which is one for, four film festivals. Holler. holler. I'm sorry. I'm just so,
so proud.
I'm so proud. But yeah, we went for film festivals for this pilot, but we had done accurate history. Like Kat and I had been researching for months. When we got on set, we even went to the local library that was like an hour away. Like we did the thing. You called the historian too, didn't you, or something? Like literally.
Yeah. Try to get information.
So when we got, we were like ready. We're like, we have this location. We've got this down. And then we get there and guess what? None of the history mattered because the evidence that we got wasn't even related to the history that we did.
Yeah. The entities have their own story to share.
And you should let them. And it's really, it's crazy to me because you see these paranormal shows that are always constantly flopping and it's for a reason. Just let the freaking ghosts tell the story. It's really not that hard.
It's not. If you give them the space to listen and shut up, you know, you'd be surprised what would come forward.
You mean you shouldn't put, like, you know, a veteran ghost in a box and then go outside and blow it up? Like the Tennessee Wraith Chasers did? Calling it a demon?
You can't blow up a ghost.
Or can you? I don't know. Once again, I'm also more afraid of the Tennessee Wraith Chasers at this point that they think that they can destroy energy because that's playing God. Once again, rather hang out with a demon than chill with people that think that they can play God. So anyway.
Like fire? Like, is that why you're doing that? Like, do you like blowing up things? I don't really understand.
I don't know what their gimmick was, but I couldn't get through it. I couldn't stomach it. Honestly, it was just annoying. Yeah. And once again, I'm sorry, but if there was something angry there, it wasn't a demon. It was a pissed off veteran that had PTSD from Vietnam. And you just tried to blow him up, and now he's more pissed.
It's true. It's sad.
Anyways, it's sad. Voodoo Queen, oh my god, was played by Angela Bassett, which is Marie Laveau. Oh my god. Obsessed.
Yeah.
Laveau.
Really.
Depends on how you say it, but... I've done research on her so many times. I hope someday that we can go to her. That's one of Elfie's places that she wants to get to is Louisiana. She loves the history of Louisiana and New Orleans. And her gravestone is still, like, heavily worshipped to this day. But, like, you can't find it, I've heard, unless you actually go to Louisiana because it was destroyed a couple of times. It was, like, defaced. So you have to sort of ask questions and then like people will lead you to it that are like locals. You can't really look it up online.
True.
Oh man, this is a good one. We've talked about this before. Papa Legba.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one. That was portrayed perfectly, don't you think, in Coven?
Yeah. Just the right amount of creep too. You know, creepy, but also understanding like the undertone of what he was there for.
Yeah, so he's supposed to be like this gatekeeper of like the underworld, and then there was like this stuff that happened on social media. This girl supposedly, this white girl supposedly summoned him, and everyone was like, yeah, that's what she gets for summoning him. He killed her. He was a gatekeeper. He wasn't a murderer. Like, you know what I mean? Once again, if we're gonna, I don't know if Papa Leg was a demon, but if we're gonna play pretend and just put him in that category, I don't think he'd be one of the darker ones. He's a gatekeeper. It's right. Like human spirits. He's not one of the darker ones. But, you know, I mean, I'm also not well-versed in voodoo, and I feel like if you are very, very well-versed in certain aspects of paranormal, you respect it. But I definitely respect voodoo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Voodoo scares me. I'm going to be real.
Yeah. It does, me too. But maybe that's because I'm just not very well-versed in it, you know?
I've known people that have practiced it, and it just, I don't know why it scares me so bad. It's kind of, like, indigenous. I feel like it goes way, way back. You know what I mean? Like,
deeper than I think we might realize.
Yeah. Well, even, like, Haitian, like, there's different, like, branches of it. But I do think how it was portrayed in AHS was amazing. I thought that was amazing.
Interesting. I don't know why I felt the need to, like, bring this up. But with, like, my ancestry, my father got some of his results back, and of course like it changes all the time, but discovered that he is 27% Aztec.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm very curious as to what Aztecs, like what their religion was.
We're wanting to do a stream on this eventually.
Oh yeah. I want to
because I found out that I have lineage from Mayans, which is the bad one, right?
I don't know if it was necessary. I mean, they're both pretty dark.
Great. Just, like, why did we both have to come from the dark side? Great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's Cat and Crystal. It's fine.
I'm back. I'm like, bubbly! And then it's like, evil.
It's like, sacrifices. We will put you on a stone bed and let your blood come completely out. Like, literally, it's dark shit.
Actually, we have a ritual table like that in New Hampshire.
Well, does that say something?
American Stonehenge in Salem, New Hampshire.
That's dark shit. You know what I'm saying? It's dark. Yeah. So yeah, Kat and I want to do a future stream on Aztec and Mayan because we both found out that we have lineage from both of those. So we can compare more ancestral trauma. Yay!
Yeah. Online therapy. Let's talk about it.
The Axeman was in New Orleans too, and that was part of Coven. Which was, the real Axeman was a thing. Like, they think that he liked being portrayed in the media because at the time they were putting out, like, warnings of, like, the Axeman says he won't come get you if you play, like, jazz music or something weird.
And they released his letter.
Yeah.
He, like, wrote a formal letter.
Which is a huge mistake, I think, because I think serial killers love that. They like the attention. Mm-hmm. So he probably felt more powerful when he did that. So... Anyway, that is really scary, though, to think some dude's going around with an axe killing everybody.
Yeah. No, that's not going to fly.
Pretty terrifying. I mean,
here's the thing, though. Like, what if someone is armed with an axe themselves? You have, like, an axe standoff. You, like, comes to the house, and you're just, like,
fresh. How does one break in the house, though? Like, get a guard dog or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I know they didn't have security cameras in the day, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, like, I bet it was a place where people just, like, leave their houses unlocked and, like, their windows on. You know what I mean? Like.
Different time.
Yeah, I know. Now, I didn't realize the Countess was off of someone that was real with AHS.
Really?
Yeah, it says she was from, I think it's England. Hang on a second. Let me look this up. Let's see. Lady Gaga, who was the one that performed. Because you know, because I didn't watch it, so I don't know this one. But it was, I think, this woman, 16th century Hungarian woman, who was known as the Blood Countess, and she was, like, from an extremely, like, you know, sophisticated, aristocrat, wealthy family, and she would torture peasants and sort of drink their blood, thinking it would, like, keep her young.
Yeah, she's actually portrayed in a lot of shows. There's actually a Salem show. I can't remember where it's on. I think it's on Hulu. And she is also portrayed in it as, like, having an immortal life by, you know, drinking human blood.
Well, and she said she bathed in the blood of her victims, too, because it would also preserve her youth if it went through her pores. And I was like, ugh.
Okay, yeah, that's, okay, interesting. Well, it's really messed up, but it's interesting. that she, and I don't know how accurate this is, but this was on some, like, quick research I did when I first saw this season.
Mm-hmm.
She had, like, really messed up ways of, like, getting the blood on her.
Ew.
I guess.
Is it like Hostel, like the movie Hostel, where they, like, cut her throat and it just, like, pours on her in a bathtub?
Like, hanging from the ceiling.
Yes! Ugh, sick, like, man. That. I couldn't get through Hostel either. I saw that scene. I was like, done. Once again, done. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's so crazy because, like, as an empath, it's weird. Like, oh, yeah, I can go, like, chill with ghosts and demons all day. But when it comes to, like, the really torture shit that we see in movies and like, films, and, like, I have a really hard time sitting through it. I empath off of it. Like, that scene in Hostel, I was like, oh, my throat! Like, Jesus! I was like, I can feel it. Like, it's what you said
with
Asylum. You're like, I felt like I was getting a lobotomy.
I could literally feel it. Like, I could literally feel the electroshock therapy. Like, that startled me. That startled me because it wasn't even just like watching it and being afraid. It's like I could legitimately feel it.
Ugh.
And that freaked me out really bad. So I was like, we're going to just take a step back here, boo.
That's when you're a good filmmaker, when people are like, can feel what you put on a film. Like, Jesus, God.
Yeah, that was the only one. I don't know. That was weird.
That was weird. Very weird. Maybe I don't know. This one I couldn't get through either, but that was, like I said, Hostel. So. But it says that she claimed she was a vampire by bathing in people's blood, and since she was so high an aristocrat, she was never held accountable for all the murders that she did because she was really wealthy and, like, high part of society.
yeah, she literally did whatever she wanted. And Madame LaLaurie also showed that she did the same thing.
Really?
You don't remember that? She had scenes of having, like, a makeup...
Oh, like with a, blood, like, padding on her face. Yes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a facial.
That. So I'm wondering if that was a correlation to Hotel. Mm. Meaning, like, they sometimes have those weird...
Tie it together.
Character mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
I wonder if that was in real life. We'll have to research that, because that's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, so, you know, thinking of places like that, like the LaLaurie Mansion, which is in New Orleans, like, it's been done a lot because paranormal shows obviously go there. But I do wonder, like, it's always men going to these places. I know that if we went in these places, we would get completely different evidence because you do ask yourself, you go into the LaLaurie Mansion as, like, three really strong females, you, Elfie, and I don't think we're going to get the kind of evidence other people have gotten. I think she's going to be like, yes, I like strong women. That's what I was. Like, you know what I mean? Sort of attitude. So I'm just interested in seeing what kind of evidence we would get with these places.
Maybe we will. You never know.
Oh, man.
You never know.
So then there's another one based off of H.H. Holmes, which is obviously Hotel Cortez. This is the one I couldn't get through. This is the one I didn't realize it was based off of H.H. Holmes, or I might have tried to sit through it.
His childhood home is in New Hampshire. And it's like 18 minutes for me, and I want to go visit it. Like,
have you driven by it?
Yeah, it's not blocked off, but it's not lived in. It's in Gilmanton, New
Hampshire. Why don't you go make a TikTok driving by?
Yeah, I should. I really should. I'm actually thinking about calling the people that own it, because I do believe it is owned, like, obviously.
But no one's, like, inhabiting it.
No, and it is considered a historical, like, landmark. Like, they have a whole
cat
up there. Yeah, I know. Location. I just need to go make a drive-by. Yeah.
God, that sounds dangerous. I need to make a drive-by. I'm sorry, guys. Tomorrow I'm busy. I'm going to run to H.H. Holmes' house. Sorry, I'm just busy.
Holmes' house, y'all. Sorry. I'm going to go have a hang sesh, you know what I'm saying?
So H.H. Holmes, he was dark, man. See, and wasn't he a Taurus?
I don't know, but he has a freaky mustache.
It's like, it's the pedo mustache, isn't it?
It's like...
Or like a...
Like on his face, like, woo!
Pedo mustache, like child rapey mustache, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it says majority of serial killers are Taurus. I'm offended.
Aries?
No, not usually, uh-uh. Yeah, I literally looked up H.H. Holmes Taurus, and then all of a sudden, the first article is like, majority of serial killers are Taurus. You know what? I feel you. Because I've been pushed to the edge a few times, okay? And I understand the feeling, okay? I could run somebody over and not feel bad about it some days. Because and I don't mean like with a car. I mean with my legs. I could stomp over you. Because I just get sick of people's shit some days. You know what I mean?
Disease.
Anyway. Yeah, H.H. Holmes was. It looks like he was. I would like to find out. Like, we should do a series talking about like astrology more.
I think so.
Because it would be interesting to correlate, like, sun signs with moon signs and, like, rising signs, too. Wouldn't it?
Yeah. That'd be fun.
So, anyway. Going back. So, H.H. Holmes, that was good. How do you think that, what's the guy that plays all these characters? What's his name? He's, like, that young actor. How do you think he does with all these characters?
Oh, incredible.
I do, too.
Incredible. Yeah. He, I'm trying to think of his name.
I put him on that, like, horror crush video I did for TikTok, but I can't remember what his name was.
I can't remember the name.
Now I'm going to obsess about it. AHS characters. Got it. I've got it. Just hang on.
Oh, Tate Langdon?
No, that's not right.
Tate Langdon? Oh, Evan Peters.
Evan Peters. Yeah. There you go.
That was his character name. Sorry. Yeah. He's amazing.
Yeah, he always does an amazing job with stuff.
Yeah, he's really creepy.
I didn't see the season of that, like, Abandoned Island either, which is, like, a newer one. I didn't see that one either. Because it didn't appeal to me. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's, like,
yeah,
the 16th century island that, like, became, like, it was, like, creepy. Like, everybody, like, got up and walked away from this island one day. Like, all these 16th century people or whatever. Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Ernie and Betty Hill one is the one that I...
Which one's that?
Found interesting. It's closer towards the top, but it's also from Asylum. Mm-hmm. And again, like, I didn't finish it, but I did read up on it. Mm-hmm. And that couple, is they're from New Hampshire.
Really? And oh, wait, is this the UFO thing or is this something else?
Yeah, this is the UFO thing. There's literally a landmarker that I think I have a picture of myself there.
Why don't you do a TikTok on that one, too?
I should drive by. I really do. Yeah, I need to get out of my house.
I know. You have, usually if you're here, we film together, or, like, I was planning on coming up to New Hampshire, too, this year, and then, you know, freaking pandemics.
Right. Just and that, too. But, yeah, that was really interesting. And, like, Betty, more specifically, is the most interesting.
The woman?
Because her dreams of being abducted are, like, so... I have to share this. Can I share this for, like,
yeah, a share minute? It. Yeah, do it.
So,
So wait, go back. So this is, like, a couple that was a part of the series, but it was based on a real-life UFO session that basically happened in New Hampshire as a husband and wife.
They were an interracial couple.
Okay.
And yeah, just like amazing, amazing, interesting situation occurred. So, they were abducted. They claimed to be abducted by extraterrestrials in a rural portion of New Hampshire, from like September 19th to the 20th in 1961.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, I don't know why
my dog. That's okay. Cause aliens, you know,
yeah, like, no,
aliens. It was the first widely publicized report of alien abductions in the United States. It was the first one to be reported in Lincoln, New Hampshire. There's a historical marker there, and the energy there is strange.
But isn't there a ton of abductions and UFO sightings in, like, the whole, like, New England area?
Yes, but this was the first one.
Okay.
This was literally, like, the first one in 1961.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, just to, like, jump ahead for a minute, the husband died at the age of 46 of a brain hemorrhage, a cerebral hemorrhage.
Caused by what?
I don't know. And then, but she didn't pass until 2004 at the age of 85. But she passed away of cancer.
Wow. Okay, that's weird, because they say if you have abduction, you're, like, high levels of radiation are emitted to you. So if there was, like, a brain aneurysm or something, that could have been correlating. Same with cancer, right?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yep. So, Betty and Barney were, like, put in separate rooms, to talk about their experiences. And the reason why that this was considered a credible, situation is because at the time, being in an interracial couple, and they literally put this in their statement that they wouldn't want to draw
attention
on themselves.
Right.
So if they're doing this,
well, you could get killed, like, for being interracial at that time.
Right. Right. Yeah. So it was very, like, that's why they took it as credible, which is messed up, but I do believe it happened.
Uh-huh.
And so Betty, 2 days after, I'm just going to, like, read the segment. So it says, 2 days after the alleged UFO encounter, Betty began having a series of vivid dreams. They continued for 5 successive nights, and she never really, like, recalled the dreams afterwards, but she was put into, like, certain types of hypnosis in order to, like, relive the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And they both had very similar dreams, but hers was much more vivid than his. So she was probably spent more time with in regards to, like, alien life. She was there longer.
Mm-hmm.
And she dreamt that a man similar to the others that Barney had mentioned in his statement entered to conduct her exam with the leader, is what she referred to him as, and that Betty called this man the examiner. And he said that he had a pleasant, calm manner. And the leader and the examiner, they both spoke to her in English. And it seemed not very good English. So that's why she had a difficulty understanding them. And she was also in a very drugged, like, state. Like, she was very in and out of consciousness. The examiner told Betty that he would conduct a few tests to note the differences between humans and the craft's occupants. He seated her on a chair, and this was literally what she said, or how, you know, the FBI was interpreting it. He seated her on a chair, and a bright light was shown on her. The man cut off a lock of Betty's hair. He examined her eyes, ears, mouth, teeth, throat, and hands. He saved trimmings of her fingernails, weirdo. After examining her legs and feet, the man used a dull knife, similar to a letter opener, to scrape some of her skin onto what resembled cellophane. He then tested her nervous system, and he thrust a needle into her navel, which caused Betty agonizing pain, and she was in pain ever since that happened. Hmm. Whereupon the leader waved his hand in front of her eyes, and the pain vanished. The examiner left the room, and Betty engaged in conversation with the leader, and she picked up a book with rows of strange symbols that the leader said she could take home with her. She also asked where he came, and he pulled down an instructional map dotted with stars. And this is almost done. There's only a couple more sentences.
So is this like cosmic map, essentially? Not like America or like...
No, like
constellation.
Yeah, like okay. a map dotted with stars. And it says, in Betty's dream account, the men began escorting the hills from the ship when a disagreement broke out. The leader then informed Betty that she couldn't keep the book, stating that they had decided that the other men did not want her to even remember the encounter. Betty insisted that no matter what they did to her memory, she would one day recall the events. She and Barney were taken to their car, where the leader suggested that they wait to watch the craft's departure. They did so, and then they resumed their drive. Apparently they had been driving 35 miles completely blacked out. Like, they landed in a certain part of New Hampshire that they have no idea where they were.
Wow.
Yeah.
But see, I don't think they're all... I don't know. Like, we've talked about aliens in the past. I don't think all aliens are bad. I think that the government's made us more afraid than anything.
But this is a perfect example of the leader being kind to her.
Right.
And saying... I mean, no one wants to freaking get abducted. I'm not saying go get abducted, okay?
Right.
But,
Follow Dr. Stephen Greer, if you're interested, because he's amazing.
Yes, yes. You know, he was showing her the answer she wanted, which was where they live, and you can take this book if you'd like. And
should I share my abduction story?
Yeah. Oh, yes, do it.
I've never done it before. You know it, don't you?
I do.
Do you think I should? I don't know if I should. I think I had an abduction once. Pretty sure, like 99% sure. Yeah, I had, this was like a few years ago, so I've been on YouTube, so aliens know me. Peace, hey, what's up? glad the extraterrestrials are watching me. I was having a problem, like, I'd say maybe 4 years ago, so 3 or 4 years ago. You were around when it happened, weren't you?
Years ago, yeah.
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 I've always had issues once in a while with ovarian cysts. And I've never been diagnosed with PCOS. I don't have pregnancy problems, like nothing like that. So it's not serious. But I'd had a cyst on one of my ovaries, and I've had it since like literally I was like 18 or 19. And if you don't get the cyst, most of the time cysts on your ovaries will go away. They're very painful when they burst. I've had some burst. You've had them burst. They're really bad. I think you're gonna die. Yeah, you'll literally be hospitalized for a burst cyst. Like it feels like your uterus is gonna explode. But yeah, it had an ovarian cyst, and it essentially didn't burst by itself, which is rare. And it ended up turning into something called a dermoid cyst. So most of the time, women have dermoid cysts. It was basically like, skin, you know, like a hardened skin ball, sort of just like by your ovary or whatever. So I'd had ovarian cyst, and it had turned into a dermoid. And I went and got it checked. And I actually went to like 8... OBGYNs. Like I think Kat was around at the time. Like I was literally like going, getting all these opinions. Cause I was like, I'm not settling with one opinion. And like half of the OBGYNs were like, oh, don't worry about it. It's fine. And then the other half were like, you need to get in surgery right away. And I was like, I don't know which one to do. Cause like I haven't had kids yet. And then they're telling me if you have surgery, there's like a 50% chance that ovary is going to be damaged, and it's still functional. You're still having like monthly periods. So, you know, and then I'm like, I don't want my ovary damaged, like shit, you know what I mean? Like, right. And, the ovary was causing pain, or, you know, like where it was and like the cyst, and, didn't know what to do. I was just effing stressed. Didn't know what to do. It was causing pain. scared to get it removed. I was like, I'm just going to wait it out and, you know, like wait till I have kids and deal with it then. And hopefully, like the biggest fear that the OBGYNs were saying was like, if you don't take care of it, it's obviously been growing at somewhat of a pace. At some point it could turn into like an actual tumor size where like we're really having a problem. And I was like, great. So I was really stressed going to these doctors, couldn't figure out what to do, couldn't decide what to do. I was getting ready to go to like, LA has, LSU and like all these other places you can go, really good doctors. And I was like about to do that. And I had this horrible fear one night. I was in bed and I think I texted you and told you, I was like, I just have this feeling I'm going to get abducted. Yeah. Like, I just know it's going to happen. And yeah. Kat's like, bitch, are you on drugs? Like, are you okay? Like, Jesus.
What's going on? Do you need a call? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, I was really stressed about it. Like, you can, I literally remember like not going to bed till like 3 o'clock in the morning that night because I was just, I knew it. It's that like intuition of just knowing. And it was in my house where I'm at. And, I finally like passed out cause I was so tired. I was just exhausted. I just like, I'm not like, I can film, you know, when we're doing paranormal late, but like when I'm that stressed, I'm just like, ah, I can't sleep. Oh, I don't. And, so I finally passed out and I had this dream. We're going to call it a dream. That, a really bright light was like in my backyard. And something came in and removed me. And I woke up in a ship. And at bright lights, I was on a surgical table. And I have doctors above me, predominantly one. Looks very human-esque, to be honest with you. I would say more either like a pinkish gray tone skin. Like, but really, generally speaking, looked human, honestly. He was wearing like a surgical mask and I was like, I couldn't move. And I remember like being very groggy and like looking down at that area, if you know what I'm saying. Couldn't see anything though, cause I was covered by like a blanket slash a sheet. Mm-hmm. And, he telepathically spoke to me and was like, you're going to be okay. Like we're not doing anything wrong. Like you're going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. And I was like, no idea what's going on, honestly, no idea. And just remember being like, okay, it's going to be okay. I don't know why. Because once again, it's a dream. We're going to call it a dream. And then I just laid back down, passed out, woke up the next day and had a little teeny incision scar on that side. Very teeny, not even a half an inch. Like I can't, like literally it was like this, like, I mean, a little pinch, you know what I mean? And I was like, am I crazy, Kat? Like, am I nuts? Like, something's up. So I had another appointment going into the doctor, and I went back, like, 2 weeks later to another doctor. And they have to do, not to get vulgar, like, a internal exam with a ultrasound, okay? And they were like, we don't see a dermoid cyst. We don't know what you're talking about.
I remember that phone call when you called me. It was creepy.
And I was like, there's no way. Like, they had my medical records, you know, from all these other doctors that I'd had exams at and, like, had, like, literally taken internal ultrasounds. Like, and they were like, yeah, there's no dermoid cyst. And I was like, does it just go away? Like, normal cysts can burst and just go away. But dermoid cysts are, like, material, like, matter. They don't just go away. And they were like, yeah, could have. And I'm like, your body's going to just absorb a... You know what I mean? Like, but I wasn't going to tell him what happened, obviously. But yeah, I haven't had pain since, and that was the end of that.
Damn.
Did I feel feet? Like, and I remember I called you the next day, and I was like, dude, I'm so sure I got abducted last night. And I'm sure you were like, bro, you were just paranoid as fuck last night. Like, just calm down, you know? But like, yeah, I literally, I think that happened. Like, I don't. How else do I explain that? I don't. Was I in fear of what happened? No. And honestly, that's the pivotal moment. When I started doing more research on UFOs and aliens, and that's when I was like, dude, they are not here to hurt us 100%.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Stephen Greer started following him, like researching it. And like, yeah, I just, I'm not saying some of these like horror stories don't happen, but like I think that it is somewhat government controlled to make us in fear of like other races.
I agree.
So anyway, I don't know, take from that what you will. All I have to say is I don't know where the hell that cyst went, because it should still be there.
Yeah, it's floating in space.
It's floating in the abyss, okay?
Hit an astronaut in the head. What is this?
It's an asteroid-sized cyst. It's just gone. Like, yes. Where did this material come from? You guys know what this is? Should we test it?
Actually, the cyst is sitting in Area 51, guys. Yeah. You know, it's in a glass case right now.
Yeah, it is creepy, though. You know. But, it was like, I don't know, man.
I believe it.
I don't know.
I mean, things like that, and with how all those stories are so similar when it comes to it being, like, a hospital room.
Well, it is weird because it's also, like, I was scared to get surgery because I don't want my other ovary taken. That takes your 50% chance of, like, pregnancy down. And, like, I don't know if I'm having kids, but I want that decision to be on me. I don't want that right taken away. And so I was like, I'm just going to have to deal with the pain. And then it was just, like, gone. Like, and I'm talking, like, the cyst was, like, literally larger than a quarter. So I'm not talking, it was just teeny. Like, this was a big, and imagine that on the size of your ovary, which that organ is very petite and delicate like a flower. And I was scared. I didn't, and so whatever they did when they did the other ultrasound, they're like, everything's there. Because I was like, oh my God, is my ovary gone? Like, jeez.
They took the ovary.
No, the ovary's right there. So I guess that just means that we don't have the, like, precision technology that they have wherever they're at floating around with my cyst up there. You know what I'm saying?
Floating in the Milky Way. Floating around.
Oh, my God.
All right. Where our streams go, y'all.
Listen, thanks for saving Ghost Girl Diaries Queen Crystal. Oh, my God. It's dead. Fuck. normally, I try to not cuss on this, but I feel like we're just there today. You know what I mean?
Oh, we're not allowed to cuss.
I mean, I just don't do it. Like, I try to not do it because you can get blocked through, like, the algorithm. But you know what? I don't know, man. You know, I'm just here to be myself. That's about it. So.
Well, I threw heavy up bombs.
I know. That's why I was laughing when you did it, because I was like, damn. She's
mad. I don't swear often on here. Off camera, yes. But just saying, I'm fired up, okay?
Screaming.
Forgive me.
Forgive me, baby Jesus, black magic. Elfie is on vacation this week. Elfie, we love you. Thanks for tuning in, even though you're on vacation. I hope you're enjoying yourself. Next week, Elfie should be back. I don't even know what we're doing next week, but it's fine. I feel like we've just been winging it. It's kind of going, it's kind of good. It's kind of good.
And it's working out.
Work is about to pick up on the other side of us, not social media, not podcast side. So I don't know what's going to happen over the next 3 to 4 weeks, to be honest with you. If there's a chance that we're not live on a Friday, we are busy, boo, and I can't do anything about it. And I'm not going to kill myself trying to get on a podcast just because of everything else that's going on. The next, like, 3 months are going to be pretty bad for us, just so everybody knows. All three of us, Elfie, Kat, and I. So, yeah, make sure you find us on TikTok. Hopefully we should be here next week. Fingers crossed, no issues. Whatever we're doing next week, you'll find out about it later. And any signing off messages, Kat?
We love you.
We love you, guys.
Thank you for being here and dealing with our random but I just caught myself. Did you hear that? I just caught myself.
No, I mean, at this point, I don't think it matters. You know what I mean?
Like, yes. And yeah, we appreciate the support.
Yeah, we love you guys. Thanks for following us on TikTok. I have like 4,000 views on my Beetlejuice video.
It's so good.
On Instagram. I was like, what?
It's so good.
So yeah, I'm glad everybody likes me. If you're not following me on social media, I made a Beetlejuice inspired look. So since you guys loved it, I'm gonna do more. I think I'm gonna stay with like horror characters or like ghost characters though.
Do it.
Like I don't want to do just like random shit. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So make sure you guys follow us on social media. We love you guys. Thank you for being here. As always, make sure you download this as a podcast. It will be uploaded hopefully tomorrow. And that's the tea.
That's the mother tea. Now I'm all paranoid. I'm just like, words are really hard right now.
That's
fine.
The tea. Yeah, follow us on social media. We love guys. Mwah. And as always, we will catch you guys next time. Bye, guys.
back from the dead. We'll be right back.